came that way. He said, "My, how terrible." I want you to read what it says. "When he was at the place, he came and looked on him." It's a little bit different from the first one. "And then he gathered his robes and passed by like the other one said, like the other one did on the other side." Now, there's very little difference between them. Here's what this man might have said. "My, isn't it terrible? Have you noticed the increasing number of robberies on this road recently? There have been altogether too many robberies. I'm going to get me a gun. I'm going to get a bodyguard. I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to come down here all alone by myself like I've done a few times in the past. It's getting too dangerous. That poor creature over there, I wish I could help him. I just wish something could be done. But I cannot get involved. After all, up the water, up the arroyo, they might be waiting there for somebody else to come, and that might be a trap." Now, haven't all of us argued just exactly like that? That's the second attitude. Interest. Oh, I'm interested, all right. I identify with them, but it's with a distance between us. I may even reach out to pet them in sympathy, to feel together with them, but with their feelings inside of them and mine inside of me. And I remain right here. Now, listen to me carefully. This is not Christian compassion, but this is the predominant attitude other than the first one in the Church of Jesus Christ almost worldwide today. Oh, I wish something could be done. I'm so sorry that those people are in that condition. But I gather up my robes, I get my paycheck, I go to my house, I gather my family around, I get my gun and hang it on the wall and say they had better not come here begging. They had better not come here doing violence to my property or my person or the persons of my family because they're hungry. They'd better not do anything to me. If they do, I'm going to respond in kind. I wish something could be done. So finally, we draft a resolution and sign it in mass and send it to the mayor of Memphis and sit back and do nothing except fear for our wives and our teenage daughters because of the rapes in the hospital parking lots. And we say, I wish something could be done. Now, this is the attitude of that second man. Now, let me make an admission for you. If this is all we do, then we are completely justified in arguing what we usually argue. Yes, but I cannot feel anymore. I have tried. I have come to the limit of my ability and to my wit's end and to the end of my mentality. I cannot stir up my feelings artificially. I cannot feel anymore. This is what the theologians call compassion fatigue, where you reach the end of the road as far as feeling, where you felt yourself to the gamut of experience in identity with them as far as interest and sympathy are concerned, and you cannot feel anything anymore. So here you hear things so often that you lose your hearing. You see so much you become blind. You feel so much inside of you that you lose the capacity to feel and become numb. You do nothing about it and soon become burned out, untouchable, unmovable, and yet you still call yourself a Christian. Now, isn't that the truth with so many people? They have said so many times, "Oh, I hear it, I see it, I feel it," and have done nothing about it, that they have become guilty of crystallizing this second attitude, which is mere interest and sympathy, where they never identify, they never do anything about it. Let me illustrate this stance. There was a German playwright who came with Nazi Germany through World War II. His name was John Van Druten. When the war was over, he wrote a play about what he saw take place in Nazi Germany, both before the war, when all of the humanity of Germany was squeezed out by a raving maniac who possessed an ability to stir the emotions of people so that they would forfeit themselves in the interest of a state cause that was completely inhumane. And this was a frantic paper hanger who was unable to compete otherwise in society and brutally ran over everybody in sight. He was able to gather following because something was obviously wrong in Germany and in the world, and they realized they needed to change it. This was the beginning of fascism and Nazism. And John Van Druten faced with Nazi Germany right through the throes of the agony of squeezing humanity out of a nation to make it brutally believe it was a super race and could not be touched by the common feelings of average men. And when the war was over, he dared to write a classic play, a play that became a classic. And the title of it tells you this very attitude. The name of it was and is, quote, "I Am a Camera." I am a camera. And here's what he did. He took the stance of a person walking around taking pictures. He saw people being bludgeoned down into inhumanity, just as is happening in this country today. America, you'd better get ready. A bloodbath is coming you've never dreamed of, unless there's only one alternative, a sweeping movement of the Spirit of God. And some of these young people are going to be dismantled physically. That's right. You're going to lose arms and legs, and they're not going to be cut off. They're going to be jerked off. And you're going to be dragged through streets. If you think this is not coming, just hang around. And if you want to know what atheism will produce, atheism, no God anywhere, stay around and see it. It's coming. If you don't believe it, just watch. That's all you've got to do. Assume this stance. And at a distance, just watch. That's all you've got to do. Don't get into the battle. Do nothing. And enter and sympathize and say, oh, I wish it could be changed, but do nothing about it. Go home and go to bed and go to sleep and eat and go to the job. That's all you've got to do. Forgive me if you think this is brutally presenting the truth, but I believe we've got to match what's on the other side with the same commensurate kind of commitment and dedication to Jesus Christ on this side. And if we need to get gutty, let's get what we need to get and become what we need to be. Jesus was not too good for that. These are the very terms he used. And then he gave his guts to the cross to match what he said with his life. And they entered a spear right through the middle of what he gave, and blood and water gushed out of a broken heart. Interest, sympathy. He walked around taking pictures. That's all he did. God have mercy on me. This is often all that I do. This is often all that you do. Some of you will recognize this name. I'm sure our missionary family will recognize it. Dr. James Belote. He was at one time a teacher in our Baptist seminary in Hong Kong, I believe, or perhaps in Japan. And Dr. Belote said he was making a tour of Hong Kong one day, and he had a camera in his hand. He came back to the States to show his slides. One of the slides he showed was a little emaciated Chinese boy. His stomach was distended, bulging. His body was frail. His ribs practically exposed through his skin. The bones stuck out, his elbows and the joints, and very emaciated apparently from hunger. And he said he was on the sidewalk on his knees and slumped slightly to the side against the wall of a bakery. And there was a window there. The little boy's face was down against the bakery window. The contour of his face had fitted the flat surface of the glass in the window, and inside there was a roll of cheap bread. That little boy had gone to sleep, looking through that window in hunger, wishing he could have a morsel of that bread, but separated from it by the pane of glass. Dr. Belote said, I came along and snapped the picture, and he showed the picture, and he said, after a service stateside one night, a little old Christian lady came up to him and said, Doctor, I want to ask you a question. I'd like to know what I would have done. I want to know what you did. When you took that picture and you saw that little boy like that, what did you do? And he said, then for the first time it really struck him. All I did was to raise the camera, strike the shutter, and move on. That's the way most of us are. Oh, it registers all right mentally, but it's almost ceased to do that. Some people don't even watch the news. Because it requires some fellow feeling to watch the news today. This is the second possible attitude. It's an attitude of interest, an attitude of sympathy, but no action. And when this happens, we soon become untouchable. And I'm describing hundreds of you. I mean, where you never do anything. No matter what anybody would say, you wouldn't do anything.